IFM 101.9 megahertz of life.
Hi, good afternoon, and it is a new day and a new dawn, and today we'll be tackling a different topic on the Consumer Corner. I'm Belinda Abramson, I'll be your host today. So we'll be talking about the legitimacy of online reviews and online stores. We will be talking with two guests, initially Dr. Wei Tsi Lung, who is the lecturer of the Academy of Computer Science and Software Engineering at the University of Johannesburg. And secondly, we'll be speaking with Amol Berger-Smit, who is the Director of Competition Law and Head of Data Privacy at Worksman's Attorney. So good afternoon, Dr. Lung. Have I pronounced your name correctly?
Yes, that's correct. Thank you.
Thank you for coming and joining us on the show. So basically, how do we deal with the nitty-gritties of ordering online? Aside for the exquisite marketing that we see, you know, in terms of protecting our privacy, in terms of not being ripped off, you know, what are the signs and strategies that we need to look for?
I would say the first thing you would check is the website that you're purchasing from reputable? As you can imagine, since the lockdown, there has been a jump in the number of fly-by-night operations, and they typically were set up just to offer you these really amazing sounding deals. But in reality, they are supposedly working or operating out of some random warehouse in the middle of nowhere. Right. So if you actually use Google Maps and you look up this address, you find that it's not even a property. Maybe it's next to a gas station.
Right.
So these people are operating in that fashion. And so they take your money, and then they will delay, and they say, oh no, there's an issue with the order, the shipping, and you know, I'm offering it to you really, really cheap, and a lot of people have bought, and I'm trying to get more stock. And these are all very reasonable sounding things.
Right.
So my view is, if you are going to buy from these shops, check if they have been operating, they have been around for a while. I opened last month, and now clearly I'm the best business ever because I have these amazing offers.
Right. And where do we find those details? Aside from Google Maps, where do we find the details in terms of how long they've been operating?
So this can be a bit more technical, but what you do is you perhaps take a look at the domain name. So let's say takealot.com, for example.
Right.
That's something that everybody is familiar with, and we all know it. But what you could do is you could just take a look at when the domain name takealot.com was actually purchased. So there, if you go on Google,
yes,
you could type in the domain name history of this domain name, and then it might tell you that, oh, actually, the owners of the domain purchased this 3 months ago. Then that for me would be a bit of a red flag. Not to say that this is not a legitimate company, but I will have questions, especially if the website is up and I said, we have been in the market and we've been servicing our customers for the last 10 years.
Right.
You go, really? But you only got the domain name last month. I have questions about that.
Right.
Another thing that I would say you should look at is when you go through the website, does this website look like it was copied off someone else's website? That happens quite often.
Right.
And once in a while, these people get really lazy. So if you keep clicking on certain links that people don't really expect you to go, for example, About Us or the story or whatever, you find that it's referring to some other business.
Right.
And it's a different name. Then you know that they copied this website.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. So the one thing you could also perhaps look at is reviews, but I get very nervous about relying on reviews that are put on the website, and they say, someone says, this shop is 5 stars. They are so amazing.
Right.
Because one can easily fake this information. Especially if you get these websites and you see these lovely photos. So this is a little bit more technical, but yes. Everyone can do it.
Okay.
So if you find these photos of these people that are supposedly running this operation, and you go, well, this photo looks like a really nice stock photo, but I'm not sure.
Yes.
You can actually download that image and upload it to Google. So there's a Google reverse image search. And if you upload it to Google reverse image search and they tell you that this person is actually the same picture on the following other business websites, then you know that this website isn't actually run by the smiley person named Steve,
right?
For example.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. This is a lot to take in, I have to tell you. Do you run a course?
I'm not joking. Not at this moment.
Actually.
All right.
You know, because we.
But thank you for that idea. I think it's something I will pitch to the department and say, let's quickly create a short little one just for consumer awareness.
No, absolutely, and you know, we all get taken in by it, and we don't look for the red flags. And what do we look for in terms of where the domain name is? There's that lock. Can that be an indicator?
No, unfortunately not. So once upon a time, it was a thing. You could use the lock on the domain name and you say, oh, it's got a domain name, therefore it's legitimate.
Right.
It's now no longer a thing because that is so cheap and sometimes quite often it's free for you to get it. So anyone can set up their own website. I mean, you could, your mom, for example, with the least amount of technical, I'm inferring. I'm just making a guess. But like my mom is absolutely the limits of her technology is she knows how to get onto her phone,
right?
And she can use WhatsApp. She could set up a website for herself and get that lock because it's now so easy. You can anyone can get it. Used to the fact that it can also be free means that you can get it. And also, I would also point out that nowadays, if you are a website without the lock, you wouldn't be indexed on Google anyway.
Right.
So most websites now have the lock as a default.
Wow, so that makes it even trickier to navigate, right? Is there a place where people can find out all this information, like on one specific site?
I think there are certain consumer education sites out there. I don't know of one specifically, but I know that every now and then they will have something, a little infographic that tells you, beware of this, look out for that. And I suppose South Africa, you know, different business organizations might put out something to that effect every now and then. I know banks will try and tell you, listen, if you don't see these things, please be aware.
Right.
But I don't think they outright tell you, listen, there's this dodgy website or so on. Another thing you could do, and this is just off the top of my head, you could say, well, I'm really not sure about this particular website. So do a search on this website. See what other people say about the website. Because if this business is really as good as it says, there's certainly going to be reviews out there. Now, obviously, they might fake those reviews, but don't rely on, oh, I found one whole review or two whole reviews that say this is the most amazing website ever.
Right.
Therefore, I'm going to buy from them. I think if you only see really, really positive reviews, And it all happens in the same span of time.
Right.
So let's say this business supposedly has been operating for the last 10 years, but the positive reviews, and there's like five of them,
right,
but they all got written on the same date, then I will also have questions. Or the people who are doing the reviews all have only done the single one review.
Right.
Because obviously this person has had their life changed by the shop. And they now feel compelled to sign up for an account and just to write about how wonderful this business is.
Right.
You know, that will be questionable. But it's a lot of, unfortunately, it's a lot of common sense at hand and just being cautious going in. So don't go in naively thinking this is the best big deal ever. Let me throw my money at it and then wait for shipping.
Right. Right. Doctor, could you stay online for me, please. We're just going to break for an ad and I'll get back to you.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Hi, so it's Belinda back again with you on Mondays with the Consumer Corner. Right now we're speaking with Dr. Y.C. Lung, who is a lecturer of the Academy of Computer Science and Software Engineering at the University of Johannesburg. So, Doctor, we are busy talking about the legitimacy of online reviews and online stores. So let's rehash where we've been. So basically, we have to be very present and very cognitive of what we're actually dealing with, and a sale is not necessarily a sale. Can I ask you, I experienced this the other day, where actually I clicked on a site, and there are actually a lot of them, if you look on Facebook, about clothing being sold in Cape Town. And you click on the site and it takes you like to a Chinese address or a foreign address. Now, is that also a red flag, or is that pretty legitimate in terms of how businesses run these days?
Well, I would say that I would be cautious that this is happening, because if it is a operational business all the way in another country, how will you, there's no real recourse for you once the money has been debited off your credit card or you've done an EFT to the other, to the supplier, because are you going to fly to China and find this operation and say, where are my clothing?
Right.
And for clothing, is it really worth the while? On the other hand, if you're buying a small item and you're saying, oh, it's just a T-shirt, it's only $100, let me give it a try, and if it really works out, then maybe I'll consider a bigger purchase next time.
Right.
However, I did read in the news this morning, and I'm deviating from this topic, they've added some tax laws now that will prevent this the cheap clothing from being imported into the country. So I think the whole thing with buying clothing from Chinese companies or anything overseas, clothing overseas, thinking it's cheaper, that's going to come to an end soon.
Right.
At least I think that's going to happen.
Right.
I'm not a tax expert, but I have noticed that.
No, I understand. No, I mean, that would make sense. The thing is also, for example, let's say like with banking, you get a lot of banking mail. You know, how do you determine the fake from the legitimate?
So your banks normally will tell you that they won't reach out to you via email for asking your personal information. But there might be, and they normally tell you, we won't put links in our emails either. If you want to go to a certain bank, you know where your bank is. If you're with APSA, then you would know it's APSA.co.za.
Right.
However, so they will never ask you in the email, hey, click on this link, because if they click on this link and it's fake, what will happen is it will take you to someone else's version of the website, and then you go, oh, I'm here, and then you put in your banking details, and now they've gotten your banking details and they can do who knows what with it. That's why banks have actually stopped putting links in their own emails, and they tell you, listen, we won't put links in our emails for that very reason. So banks are trying to educate people and saying, we would not put links in there, we would not do this. And if you see any email that supposedly comes from us but it has these links, then please don't click on it. There's also, obviously, if you're more, as you say, more present in what you're doing when you read the email, is please check the email where it's coming from. Don't be in a hurry, because sometimes they will try and trick you with, you know, instead of APSA, they will say ABAS or something.
Right.
And you just quickly check and you go, oh, it looks like APSA, and then you click on it. Meanwhile, it's a different domain.
Right.
Or sometimes they don't even try. They it will come from a completely random email address. It might even come from a Google account.
Right.
But it just looks like, you know, they just stick the APSA logo, and now I'm just using APSA, but if I use any of the other banks, put the logo on and you go, oh, looks like the logo, it's official. That's why you never open an email and click on things the minute you see it. Normally with these emails, they try to create a sense of urgency.
Yes.
So they'll tell you, they might send you an SMS and they say, Belinda, 20,000 Rand just came off your account. And you go, oh, obviously, right. no. And, you know, and you panic, and then you do whatever they tell you, because correct. The instructions that follow will, to avoid this, do the following. So rather, let's put it this way. If 20,000 rand did come off your account,
right,
it's done.
Right.
Then just calmly go, all right, fine. What can I do to, you know, don't react immediately, just to prevent it. And sometimes people will try, if they get hold of certain information, if they know that you like shopping at a certain site, they will go, we noticed that you've shopped at this site. And you go, yeah, I have. Because now they go, ha. Right. Now you go, oh, you must be the real people, because you know I shopped at this site. But all they did was they maybe checked on your social media, because you said, I just bought this off a certain right. website. So they'll go, oh, did you shop from there? And you go, yes. So now you think this is the legitimate bank. And they go, well, we noticed there was a second transaction for 25,000 rand. And you go, oh, that wasn't me.
Right.
And then they go, all right, but don't worry, don't panic, we'll help you. The next notification you get, approve it. And we will then reverse the money for you.
Oh,
but
no,
that
right.
is how they intercept your approval, and then your money is going from your account into someone else's account. And they move very quickly.
Oh, my word. This is very scary. I just want to give our listeners the number to contact us should they have any queries. The WhatsApp line for Chai FM is 061-895-1019. Let me repeat that, 061-895-1019. Let me repeat, we're talking to Dr. Wei Si Lung, lecturer of Academy of Computer Science and Software Engineering at the University of Johannesburg, dealing with the legitimacy of online reviews and online stores. So, Doctor, basically, what we're saying is anybody can just basically set up an online site and take information from various other legitimate sites and continue with business as usual, and it's very easy to get caught.
You yes, know? It is quite, yeah, definitely. So, because at the end of the day, what they can do is they can copy other people's websites. They can clone them quite easily. And you don't even need the technical skills to do so. There are, this is scary, but there are people who offer this as a service.
Right.
If you pay the right money, they can set up the website for you, and they can set everything up so that, you know, any money that comes through will go into your own account. And they might, you know, because it's a service that they're offering, they might charge a certain portion, or they might charge you upfront to set it up for you. So you don't even have to be the technical person who needs to know how these things work, to set it up yourself and then see who takes the bait.
Right.
You can outsource it to other people to provide you with the facilities.
Wow. And there's no legislation that protects us from this? In
there
theory?
Is. So there is. There's actually the Cyber Crimes Act in here in South Africa. However, I think you are probably very familiar with this, but, you know, the law is one thing, but enforcement is a completely different matter. And it's about how do our law enforcement officers then investigate, how do they pursue it? Because if the person who targeted you is based somewhere else in Africa,
right,
what is the South African Police Service going to actually do to get those people to account for what they've done?
Okay, doctor, at this stage, I'm going walking to do my shopping as opposed to this online vibe.
All right.
It's really scary.
Okay.
And the thing is also, you know, kids do it also. You know, mm-hmm. kids have access and you know, it's just really scary what we can, you know, what we actually, we've opened up a whole hornet's nest here, I think, you know.
Yeah. Look. Online shopping is not bad. I mean, you've got your staples that you can always
right.
rely on and rather go for those.
Right.
If you are going to spend big money on some unknown website that you've never done, had dealings with, I would be cautious. I would rather start off with like a cheap 100 Rand item, and then let's see. The worst thing is it's 100 Rand less than
right.
that I have to pay for.
Right.
But otherwise, don't start off with, oh, 20,000 Rand on some nice, I don't know, computer equipment. This is such a deal for me. Chances are you're going to lose all of it.
Right.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.
Hi, you're back with Belinda and our Consumer Corner. This afternoon, we are busy talking with Dr. White C. Lung, who is a lecturer of the Academy of Computer Science and Software Engineering at the University of Johannesburg. So, Doctor, we're busy discussing the legitimacy of online reviews and online stores. So can I ask you, what are the trends in South Africa at the moment with regards to cyber attacks? Are we pretty exposed to those?
Oh, we are very much exposed to those. So the popular ones are, well, ransomware and phishing. So phishing, they send you an email, you click on a link, you end up providing them with perhaps your bank account details or something else.
Right.
But another way with ransomware is they send you an email or you click on something, you install the software onto the malware, onto the malicious software onto your computer, and encrypts all the data on your hard drive. And so they've basically held your data to ransom until you pay the people, the bad actors,
right.
the ransom. And normally, if my advice is don't pay, obviously.
Right.
But if you feel very desperate, you might be compelled to pay, even if you can't afford it, or you pay some of it. But I have read reports where the money was paid and they never unlocked the files. So
and
it's not worth it.
Who do we approach when a situation like this arises?
You know what? It would be really difficult. If your files are locked, there's not much you can do. It's not like you can go to the police and say, I've been a subject of ransomware. At the end of the day, the way encryption works is it's quite mathematical in nature. And unless they use the bad encryption algorithm, it's really difficult. It might be near impossible for you to break that encryption unless you actually had the key.
Right.
And maybe the bad actors that were responsible for it has the key, maybe they don't. So sometimes if you're lucky, and this is all part of some large ransomware ring, the FBI and CIA and all these other people, they might take down a certain ransomware ring. And they then get hold of the server with all the decryption keys.
Right.
And they advertise it. And then you can submit your one of your files up to the website that the FBI or whoever run. And then they go, yes, we found a match. We can unlock your computer for you without you having to pay for money. But that depends on whether law enforcement successfully finds these ransomware rings and the ransomware people actually do maintain these decryption keys.
Right.
For all you know, these people don't maintain the decryption key, and their intention was always, the minute you pay us the money, cheers, thanks, bye,
right.
You're not getting anything out of us.
Right.
But in terms of phishing, I suppose you should you will have to report it to the police. My view is that you should.
Yeah.
And the reason is because even if it's for insurance purposes or if the banks require you to take it further because they want some sort of report or some declaration, that is something you will have to do. I cannot imagine you not wanting to report it if the bank has told you, listen, if you want us to try and recover the money for you, you have to provide us with a report.
Right. Right. Who do you think is mostly being targeted? Is there a specific age group?
I would say no. It's basically everyone is fair game at this point. There are cases where the bad actors will target certain people. So they might go, here is someone who's got lots of money. We know that they are a nice high profile and high value target. So they will do their additional homework. They will find out all they can about you so that they can create a very specific type of attack. So if they know that you happen to be a huge fan of puppies, You know, you just go, oh, you melt when you see puppy pictures. Then I might construct it. If I were a bad actor, I would construct a very special email with the cutest puppies ever, and I'll send it to you. And then you go, oh, and then you end up clicking on it, and then I manage to get it. Something like that. But the low hanging fruit. And let's be honest, everyone tries to go for the low hanging fruits in anything in life.
Right.
You know that if I cast out a net and I send out about 50,000 automated emails, phishing emails, I don't care who you are. As long as you click on it and you give me your banking details, I'm happy. And it works, unfortunately.
Right. Well, Doctor, thank you so very much for your time. Please let me know if you start the course. I'm the first one there.
All right.
But
thank
we'll
you.
Be breaking now for an ad. And really, thank you very, very much.